This week, 14 states announced they're banding together to promote the U.S. Civil Rights Trail, creating an almost unprecedented push for what's called heritage tourism. It dives into the real history of a location with the goal of telling the story, whether good or bad or both. Stephanie Benjamin is a University of Tennessee professor who studies heritage tourism. Can you tell me what exactly is cultural and heritage tourism?
That's a great question. So anything revolving around a historic component of any type of country, city, place, culture, people, and this can really be revolving around just different types of folks, cultural artifacts, or just the way that they lived their lives. And it's manifested in many different ways. You could see it through museums, you could see it through monuments, through plaques, through plantation sites. So it's just a wide range of different places and spaces that cultural and historic heritage tourism sites can manifest.
Who are your typical heritage tourists?
Well, I don't necessarily know if there's a common theme perhaps with them, but from my experience and from my observations, it really ranges. So it just depends on the actual heritage site. But from my expertise, I'm more within the lines of plantation sites and plantation museums. So they tend to be older, within 40s to 60s, usually white, highly educated people coming to visit.
There's been some controversy about some Civil War monuments being taken down in southern states. Tell us a little bit about the academic perspective there. Did these have a cultural value, or were they monuments to people who basically turned against the country?
But yeah, in terms of the Confederate soldier monuments that I believe that were being taken down, this is just an incident in terms of where a lot of people are feeling like it's not part of their heritage or culture, and specifically speaking of the Black community. And this is something that I feel like is really important to show to different Americans, to different folks that are coming in, that this is part of our history, this is part of our American history, but it isn't who we are today. And so you're seeing a lot of different monuments that have been really privileging and showcasing Confederacy and then Confederate soldiers and generals, and kind of bringing that or taking those down and to really highlight and to acknowledge that we have moved past that and we are inclusive of different people and different people of color as well.
Is the argument that while we take those down because in a way, a monument in a public place seems like a celebration of that individual versus putting the information in a museum, which there are plenty of Civil War museums around, plenty of monuments and other things that explain a battle took place here, but it's not necessarily glorifying that person, right? Is that right. The distinction?
Yeah, yes. And we're seeing, this also goes into it deeper within just like within monuments. You also see it within street names. You also see it within buildings, even within our campus. So you're starting to see more of this acknowledgement that there is more to the U.S. history or more to our U.S. history than just certain privileged, powerful, white, specifically men, who are being highlighted in these spaces and places. So it's more of acknowledging other people who have marginalized voices that have helped bring this country to where it is today, and just trying to show that we are part of this country, we are part of this history of this country, but we can take it elsewhere and take it to a museum or somewhere else that we are acknowledging that part of our history. It doesn't have to be in the foreground.
So what about those looking for connections to their past or their ancestry? How can they get started with participating in heritage tourism or diaspora tourism?
Yeah, it's just, again, dependent on the person's background, their history. Everyone in the U.S. is coming from different places and spaces, different cultures. But I know with my work, specifically with plantation sites, we're seeing a lot more of especially after 12 years of slave, and we're seeing a lot more people of color, specifically Black people, coming to plantation sites, trying to get a better idea and understanding of what their past and what their history looked like.
Can you tell us about how do localities prioritize historical sites? Because something that I was reading was that, you know, in areas of Asia, say, or the Middle East, even in Europe, it's almost like every corner is heritage, is history. So how do, especially in America, where we have kind of a bad case of, I know in Knoxville in particular, there's been, probably before you got here, there's a lot of talk about tearing down parts of Fort Sanders and to build these high rises. There were historical homes there, historical architecture. Knox Heritage is a good example of a group that tries to preserve things and is not always very successful. So how do localities, how do people prioritize these historical sites?
Yeah, and that just, again, depends. I mean, you're seeing in a lot of cases how power and politics come into play. So you have certain people who are arguing for saving certain spaces or places that they feel like is very important to that place and to those people. But you're seeing a lot of places that aren't even highlighted or even acknowledged. And we're seeing that a lot, again, with marginalized communities. So a lot of the places here that are considered historic tend to be more of folks whose story and narrative is one of a dominant kind of narrative, and that's predominantly white narrative. So we're now seeing little places that we see, like, different plaques and different acknowledgments of people of color and women also that are being highlighted for that area that needs that their stories need to be told. But again, it just depends on who has the power in order to maintain these spaces and also to help pay or to fund for these heritage sites to stay and to be open to the public and to physically still be around.
Well, maybe more in line with your expertise, it occurs to me then that if you have a plantation, say, and in the years 2017, what are the chances that that plantation maintained the slave quarters to this point?
Yeah, not high. And again, it depends on which plantation site you're looking at. But when you go to a plantation site, it's usually a romanticized version of what the South was. It's that Gone with the Wind type of a trope. And so when people are coming to that plantation site, they feel like whatever that docent or interpreter or tour guide says is absolute truth, right? And so the majority of the tours or the narratives that are given there are from the planter's perspective. So it's the slave owner's perspective. It's the white perspective. But we're not hearing any stories or narratives or lived experiences from the slave community. So we're getting kind of this false narrative of what actually happened on the plantation site. And so that's something that we're starting to see change a little bit, again, depending on which plantation site that you are in. But a lot of these plantation, these slave cabins are physically moved to the back of the house, or they're used as bathrooms, or they're used as storage for landscape material. So it's there physically, but it's not being mentioned so much. But we are starting to see a little bit of a change in terms of hearing different slave experiences, and that's dependent on the plantation site and the managers at those plantation sites. Before my dissertation, I looked at three plantation sites that invited this performance called Let Them Be Heard. And it was part of the WPA project and the Slave Narrative project. And so these actors perform these slave narratives. And so it was a completely different way of understanding lived experiences from slaves. And so that was something that I experienced as a tourist, but we're also seeing certain managers at these sites be more inclusive of marginalized stories and lived experiences from slaves. So it's slowly but surely changing, but again, it depends, because then you're going to some plantation sites and they're giving a slave tour, but it's very complicated. You have a lot of tour guides and docents who don't feel like they aren't comfortable talking about slavery. And a lot of these tour guides and docents are white, so they don't feel like they should be telling this story or that they're allowed to be telling this story. So it's complicated, but I feel like it's part of our history, and it's a story that we need to acknowledge and talk about.
Is there an opportunity for academia here to increase, and this goes hand in hand maybe with diversity, and increasing the diversity of people who are the historical researchers who could help, mm-hmm. you know, propagate that information, and for those docents and the people who manage those properties. Is there an opportunity there?
Oh, yeah. There's several folks here on campus that are leading the way. There's Dr. Derek Alderman in the geography department. A lot of his research has revolved around plantation sites. I know he's working on a major project with a couple of plantation sites. But, you know, this is something that I feel like it's slowly starting to change. But it just needs to be more awareness and understanding that we can, as a community, tell these stories. But it's also going beyond that as to how these stories are told and to what extent.
Is there a particular site that springs to mind as a particularly good example of very fair and even-handed representation of the historical fact?
Yes. There's, from my knowledge and experience, there's Stagville Plantation and also Somerset Place Plantation. And those are both located in the eastern part of North Carolina. But those are two specific sites that actually invited Let Them Be Heard to their plantation sites. But also, they do a really great job in terms of incorporating the slave narrative within their tour. So, I mean, you have the option within Stagville to go to the planter's home, hear that tour or that narrative. But then you also are physically walked to the slave cabins, and they're the actual cabins from that time. So they're doing a great job in terms of incorporating and including different lived experiences of slaves. And then also with Somerset Plantation, they have rebuilt their slave cabins on the plantation site, and there's actual plaques and giving names to and faces to the slaves that were actually there on the plantation site. So we're hearing their history, their lived experiences, and that's another plantation site that's doing a really great job in terms of including that narrative.
My guest has been Stephanie Benjamin. Thanks so much.
Thank you.